Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
911 emergency.
Police.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents.
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome to a really special episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's me, Sarah. I'm here with just Danny today.
Yes, just Danny.
Just Danny. Oh, darn.
Well, actually, we're here.
Yeah, we're actually, I'm lying. We're here with a very special guest.
Brace yourself. If you're driving, pull over and park.
I know, Danny's like stammering. He can't even get the words out.
So...
We're about to have an interview with Alexis Haynes, formerly known as Alexis Nyers. Get ready. We're going to talk about the bling ring, Nancy Jo Sales, her recovery from heroin.
I know a lot of listeners have found us from her. Shout out too.
Yes.
And she kind of talks to us a little bit more about what people get wrong sometimes with the bling ring, and also what was happening while they were, because she during all that they were filming Pretty Wild, so she kind of like dives in through all of that.
But first, we're gonna play a fun game. It was sent to us by Oreo. We're influencers now, very cool.
You know, we're carb influencers, which I guess, or sugar influencers, which I'm okay with.
Cookie influencers, I'm down. So Oreo is basically doing this challenge where they have a mystery flavor, and they're sending, I guess, like other true crime podcast outlets this cool box.
Okay.
And we have the mystery Oreos. We have all these clues to figure out what the mystery Oreos are.
It's a whole procedure.
It's really fun. So honestly, I don't feel like doing the whole thing. It's really fun. We'll have to play it later with Casey. Yeah. But for now, we're gonna like just try the Oreos, and then we're gonna guess.
This is literally how I build anything from like IKEA. I'm like, there's so many instructions. I'm throwing them away and cutting right.
It's actually fun because it comes with its own like string board, like Charlie Day, that meme where he's like a conspiracy theorist. Like it literally comes with that, so we could connect the dots. Also, these literally just look like regular Oreos. Wait, in case you're interested, so it's not. I'm skeptical. Let's taste the flavor.
Okay,
what do they smell like?
They smell cinnamon-ish.
Oh yeah, they do smell cinnamon. Oh, I like that. Okay.
Actually, is this ASMR?
I know, right? Sorry, we're chewing.
Oh, I love this.
Okay, it kind of tastes like when you'd go to McDonald's and you get a Happy Meal, and then you'd get the cookies with the Happy Meal. They were kind of cinnamony. Mm. Maybe like a little Speculoos.
Speculoos. These also like Teddy Grahams.
Teddy Grahams. Oh, you nailed it.
Teddy Grahams.
Teddy Graham flavored Oreos. I feel like that's not what they're going for.
No, because I think that is a competitor.
Yes. I don't know. But I think Teddy Grahams, that hits.
Wow. I love these.
They're very good.
And they literally look exactly just like a regular Oreo.
Yeah. Okay. It's delicious. So, all right. Teddy Graham flavored Oreos is our verdict.
Yeah. Boom.
All right. And keep listening for our interview with Alexis Haynes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you
for agreeing to come on.
No, thanks for having me. I honestly love you guys. And I have to say the bling ring episode that you did was probably the most factual piece of media that I've heard on the bling ring today.
Wow.
Which is pretty incredible.
Oh my gosh.
You hear that, Emma Watson. You know what I mean? That's what I knew I didn't read Harry Potter for a reason.
I think it's interesting because you had all this stuff about Detective Goodkin. Like, you guys had all of the facts down, which so many people miss. And so I appreciate that. And obviously, people, when I said this before, people were like, yeah, well, they were like super flattering of you. And I was like, you know what? But it is the truth.
Well, because I do feel like a lot of times in cases in general, and I feel like also it happened with the bling ring, when you have like younger people involved, and especially younger women, they kind of get, the media sort of makes them a little bit of like a punching bag, and people just kind of like can rip them down because it's like a funny headline and stuff like that versus actually taking the time to research themselves to see what is actually happening here.
Yeah, it was an interesting time because this was back in 2009, 2010. And reality TV was really taking off. I would argue that it was probably kind of, it's peaking, right? It's It was on the uptrend, and it was an interesting time for sure. And we're still seeing the way that media portrays women. And I talk about this on a regular basis, like the Jordan Woods scandal with the cheating. Oh, yeah. It's like everybody ripped her to shreds, but no one was talking about Tristan Thompson, who is the actual family member and, you know, the one that is the cheater and also, has cheated on a regular basis. And that's not to excuse Jordan's behavior, but it's just like, it's very clear the way that the media portrays women in negative lights. And my biggest issue with, and we'll jump into the Nancy Jo Sales thing whenever you guys want, is that the way that she described me throughout the article, like this, you know, she was wearing Louboutins with her long black hair and, you know what I mean? And the way that she depicted me in that article, if you had a male serial killer or robber or whatever, you would never, you wouldn't be describing him like this in your article.
Yeah, like you want to be doing like,
right.
Yeah.
She didn't even describe the male kind of ringleader like that.
Exactly.
And he was like, oh, he wore a shirt, but Alexis had Tresemme, and you're like, who, this doesn't matter. And like, you're just like, what is making, like, that's not the important part of the story, but that's sort of what she jumped on. And it kind of is, I feel like, what hit the precedence of everyone kind of then jumping on that bandwagon as well.
Right. I get why she did it, because she was trying to paint a certain picture of you guys. But then it's, I'm sure it was frustrating to read and be like, well, this is not the right picture.
It was frustrating for a plethora of issues. The biggest, the first and foremost was the fact that, you know, she came to us and we made a conscious choice, my team, I meant, that we weren't going to take any interviews aside from one. And we were talking to Rolling Stone and other publications, if I recall correctly, from that time period. And my attorney selected Nancy off of what she had to say. Like, what, you know, she said, I'm a mother. I care about Alexis and getting her story out there.
Wow.
She really portrayed herself in a way of like, I want to get out like the real story. And she also said that she wouldn't talk to any of the other members. So you can imagine my surprise as a 19-year-old who's facing these big charges. When I get the article and she basically just slams me throughout the entire thing and was not at all, she didn't stick to her word. And listen, back then I was really unlikable. I was really sick. I was addicted to heroin. I had so much trauma. I certainly was no Mother Teresa. But I'm sorry. Like, it matters. It matters that you say that I wore Louboutins to court.
Right.
It matters. Yeah. It does.
Because it changes what the people that are like across the country think of. You're like, oh,
well,
this girl.
Just, yeah. Yeah. So it's saying like, oh, she doesn't take this seriously. Like, this is a joke to her. When
it's like
it very much
show.
So was not a joke to me. Like, I was facing up to 6 years in prison. Mm-hmm. I was 18 years old at that time, actually. And I was addicted to heroin, and I had years and years of undealt with, like, trauma.
And all of this while with, like, a camera crew there, too.
With a camera crew in my face recording a reality television show, which, to be clear, because a lot of people don't understand this, I didn't get a reality TV show because I was in the Bling Ring.
No,
I had a reality television show, and then I was charged with the robbery of Orlando Bloom's house.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And then, of course, like, a TV production company being like, I mean, I don't have a lot of experience with them, but being how they are, they're not going to be like, oh, she's going through a lot, let's be kind. They're probably just like shoving like so many things everywhere, kind of making matters almost worse. And you're like, okay, I'm dealing with all of this. And then on top of that, there's a light and a mic. And I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair to them, like, they didn't sign up for that either. So they kind of had to make lemonade out of lemons, like a real serious lemon.
Yeah.
And so-
That's a, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. So, you know, but overall, I have no regrets. And when people hear me say that, they're like, how could you not have regrets? Like, you hurt so many people, you publicly destroyed your life. And it's like, I wouldn't have gotten sober and I would have been dead by now, like actually dead, had I not had all of that happen.
It's sort of one of those things where you have to like hit a rock bottom of sorts to be able to like recalibrate and think, what do I actually want and what do I need to be doing type of situation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of opiate addicts out in the U.S. right now. And, you know, we're all suffering. And for me, it was just really public. You know, I just, my demise was on a public stage for, I always think about like, you know, I was put into the ring with the lion and everyone was throwing tomatoes at me. And that's just the way that it was.
Yeah.
For that time period, you know?
And I feel like it's like back then too, it's like, we didn't have like social media at the extent we do now where you can be like, mm-hmm. oh, this is what I'm feeling. This is what is actually happening. Like you didn't, no one had an Instagram to say their truths. It was all based on media, just like perceiving things too, which is very difficult.
Yeah. I don't think it necessarily would have made a difference. Like the second that I became involved and had a reality show, like the media went haywire and it didn't really matter what I said. And it's still oftentimes it doesn't really matter even what I say today. Like I still get people that are like, how could you rob Paris Hilton? And it's just like, I didn't like, is there any point in going back and forth with these people? Like,
no,
you know, no, I didn't rob Paris Hilton. I didn't, you know what I mean? It's just, there's no point.
So what do you think is like the most common misconception that you just want to debunk?
That I was the leader of the bling ring.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And okay, we saw on Instagram a little while ago that you and Nancy Joe had kind of gotten into it. She was like, mm-hmm. I didn't block you on Instagram. What are you talking about? And then did she end up DMing you? Did you guys hash it out?
Yeah. And I did an entire podcast episode about that about a month ago. And I put everything, like even court records and photos of me in the BB shoes and all this stuff up in my Patreon account. So if you really want to check it out.
Yes, we do.
You're getting some cash from us right now.
You can.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is.
Yes. So, you know, what I realized in that conversation is, wow, this woman really is delusional. Like she has a completely like false sense of reality and she makes up facts. She's like, you know, you were involved with more than one burglary. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like there is no, I was charged with one burglary. Yeah, like that's all that like that Nick ever said that I was involved with. That's all. And I even put transcripts of Nick in his, I believe this is up there. I am 99% sure, I could check right now, but transcripts of Nick's interview with the detective where he said I was only involved with that one house. And like all of this, she's just so, you know, she's like, you stole those Louboutins and wore them to court. And it's like, there were no Louboutins. Like I even posted the stuff that the police took from my house, the like property that they believed was stolen, which I still didn't get any of that back and none of it was stolen.
Oh
but
God.
They took all this property and I gave like the whole records. Like nowhere on there is Louboutins. Like I don't understand where she
and also
really gets this.
So she's probably never going to apologize.
She's like, never going to. No, she'll never own up to it.
And you're like, does she just want a pair? Like, is she trying to get like a deal from Louboutin? Like if she mentions it 500 times, they'll send her something. But that's very, I feel like it takes a lot of like courage and sort of like a calm, centered presence to be like, all right, you know what? I'm going to try to have this conversation with someone that, you know, is only looking for like maybe like to kind of like undermine you and stuff like that. And do you feel
to be honest, though, I didn't know that she was going to try to undermine me. Listen, it's 10 years later, the bling ring's in the past, and I wanted to have a conversation, like a real conversation. And I say this in the opening. She goes like, why would you ever want to sit down with me? And it's like, because we're grown women, like we can't, I'm almost 30 years old now. I was 18 at that time.
Right.
Like we can't sit down now and have like a real dialogue about like the way the media portrays women and how that impacted me and like where, how can we go from here? And is there any closure? And like, what an amazing thing would that have been?
Right.
If we can show people that, that this is what recovery looks like. And I've been able to do this in almost all of my other relationships. I mean, there were people when I got sober who said they would never ever talk to me again, and I'm best friends with them now. We can move past this. And so for her to like just, she dug her feet in the sand and was like, this is my story and I'm sticking to it, and I get it, because it has benefited her in astronomical ways. I mean, she says, she goes on to say that I'm obsessed with her. And
okay, Mariah Carey,
like, yeah, right. I mean, the whole thing is just really honestly comical. But I'm going to keep talking about it, because really the Nancy Joe meme has nothing to do with her. It has everything to do with me.
Because that is honestly, it's like the real crime is that how you didn't get an Emmy nomination for that. That's actually what I'm like, because that was the range. I mean, Meryl Streep should take notes. Like, it was so perfect.
So great.
Well, thank you.
And cause you were talking about your podcast, Recovering from Reality. What sort of inspired that? Because like you were able to get sober, kind of exhale for the first time.
What inspired you to start the podcast? Yeah.
So when I first got sober, which was back in 2010, December 1st, I will be 9 years off of heroin.
Wow.
I relapsed.
Congrats.
Relapsed in March 2011, so I will be 9 years officially sober in March of 2020. But I'm really proud of the fact that I haven't used heroin since December 1st, which it is amazing. And I ended up just doing whippets, which was so dumb, in my rehab. And I considered it a relapse because I was trying to escape. It was ridiculous. But I got sober and I really made a conscious choice that I wanted to stay out of the media, because I had seen so many people before me who are in the spotlight going in and out and in and out and in and out. And I did not want to do that. I wanted to go to rehab one time. And I wanted to better my life and I wanted to move on. And so I did do a few things here and there with Vice. And ultimately, I got married. I had my two children. I was a stay-at-home mom. And I've dealt with really challenging situations in sobriety, suicidal depression, light near-death experiences. I always joke that if someone asks you, like, what kind of trauma have you been through? I can mark, like, D, all of the above, because wow. I've been through sexual abuse, physical violence, toxic relationships, divorced parents, early childhood sexual abuse and incest. I mean, like, I almost died from blood clots in my lung. I had, like, two really traumatic, one childbirth experience that was super traumatic and one super traumatic pregnancy. So I've been through so many things. Yeah. And I've stayed sober through, you know, the last 9 years. And I realized that I can't stay silent anymore. And I was for a long time because I was an active member of AA, which I'm not any longer. Mm-hmm. And we really believe in anonymity, right? And everybody knew that I was sober, but I was like, you know, I'm not going to talk about my sobriety in the public. And then I started doing some research in the last couple of years about how many people are dying every year from drug overdoses. And it's at about 75 to 80,000 people a year in the U.S.
Wow.
Wow.
And I was like, I can't stay silent any longer. I can't. We have to talk about mental health and we have to talk about addiction, which, in my opinion, go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. I do believe that trauma creates addiction, and the only solution is connection, the connection we have with ourselves, with the collective and our personal like evolution. And so I came up with Recovering from Reality, and at first I was like, this is just going to be a podcast where I'm going to talk about my story. And now it's blown up to something much, much more. I have a book coming out December 3rd, which is insane. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We're starting to do wellness events and retreats and things like that. So it's really just like, it was just a passion project, and then it blew up. And I think the reason why it blew up is because so many people are dealing with mental health issues. I mean, 1 in 2 Americans suffers from mental health
and
issues.
And it's one of those things too that so many people either afraid to talk about or don't talk about, mm-hmm. or it's kind of, it has a stigma that you're like, oh, I don't know how to deal with it. So that the fact that you can start this conversation is so important for them as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the transition like? What has it been like making the conscious choice to not be in the public eye versus starting to wet your feet, do more interviews, and just become more of a public presence?
Well, I'll tell you something that just happened. Okay. 10 years ago, I went to the Brett Shapiro Foundation dinner. If you're not familiar, Robert Shapiro, who was, you know, he's like the biggest lawyer in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. O.J. Simpson's his son died of an overdose. He created the Brett Shapiro Foundation. And 10 years ago, I was loaded and went as a guest. And I had no idea, you know, the irony, right? Like, because I was addicted to heroin at the time. And fast forward, last weekend, my husband and I attended, and I was sober. And my friend who invited us asked me to do the red carpet with him. Wow. And I mean, the nerves. And the adrenaline. And so while that is still really there, the butterflies, the anxiousness, there's also a gift, and the gift is that when we heal from our shame, we're able to overcome anything in our lives. And I love Brené Brown, and I talk about her often. She has an amazing book called Braving the Wilderness, and it's really just about finding out who you really are at your essence and at your core. And who I really am is I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a woman who cares about people. I actively help people get sober every single day. I am doing amazing things to give back. And it's funny because back when I was on Pretty Wild, I said all of these same things, but I was really, and I meant them, but I was just so sick, I couldn't see how to get there. But throughout our history, we know that some of the sickest people in the world, like, also did incredible things.
Right.
Yeah. And transformed, you know, thousands and thousands of people. And I'm just out here trying to share my story and do the same. So if walking a red carpet or being on a podcast like this helps people to realize that they can come home to themselves, that they are beautiful no matter what, and that they deserve, you know, peace and love and all of these things, then it's worth it to put myself back out there again.
Definitely.
And I feel like that's such a good for all the people that you're inspiring that you may not know or know, and also just for your kids to see, like, this is what mommy's doing for the world, and this is a kind of an inspiring, like, you can overcome challenges, you can kind of put yourself out there, you can make all these amazing changes in the world and in yourself too.
It was so cute. One of my daughter's best friends, her dad is a very famous singer.
Ooh.
And we were going to go out to dinner the other day, and we were driving in the car. And this was so cute. My little six-year-old goes, you know, sometimes I wish my daddy was famous like her daddy, but I know that my daddy is amazing because he helps people. And, like, cue the tears. Oh. I started bawling, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, she's
so
getting it. That this, what matters is our community. What matters is helping people. And that's far more important than being famous. Exactly. Not that he's not helping people. I'm sure he is in his own way.
Yeah,
she didn't get that. You know what I mean? She doesn't get that.
And that's amazing too. And that it goes to show how, like, formative, like, kids' years can be. And it's great that they have the guidance from you guys to sort of be like, you know, do some good out there.
Oh, yeah.
What's the title of your book?
It will also be Recovering from Reality.
I mean, it's amazing. A good title.
Yep, like, yeah, it is a good title. It's so fitting.
It's so good.
I mean, it's all going to be, when I initially thought, okay, it'll just be the podcast. And now I'm like, no, we're building an empire. We're building an empire about becoming your authentic self and loving yourself and helping others and waking up to who you really are. And so it's all going to stay in house.
I love that.
What is the focus of the book? Is it going to be more of a memoir or self-help?
It's kind of an interesting combination. It will be, instead of memoir with, like, you know, here's some little tidbits of self-help, it'll be more like there'll be big, it almost kind of looks like Instagram posts. Ooh. Of like my lesson learned from each chapter or each part of each chapter, and then like the story behind it. Cool. So there'll definitely be lots of juicy stories. Ooh, in there.
That's exciting.
And what I've what my biggest takeaway was from each experience.
And amazing. With all of the empire growing, would you ever want to welcome back reality or a camera involved? Or are you kind of like, you know, you like the ability to like edit, like have the podcast and book or something like that? Or would you want to take it to TV ever?
I'm open. I would do everything different. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Evan and I have pitched so many times, kind of like a docuseries covering mental health and addiction throughout the world. And so we've pitched that often. And because it's hard because the networks are looking for shows like Intervention, where there's like huge meltdown, huge meltdown, huge meltdown. And then they're walking on the beach in Malibu holding hands into the sunset. And I want to go into the Amazon and take a look at how ayahuasca is helping people. And I want to go up to Vancouver to the safe injection sites and see how harm reduction is working. Mm-hmm. And I want to cover like medication management and alternative healing and all of these things. So Evan and I might, and I think we will, this will maybe be a 2020 goal, to do a whole series. And we've talked to somebody who has suggested Quippy, which is kind of like a new platform for broadcasting shows and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. As far as reality TV goes, I've toyed around with the idea and we will see. Ooh. I don't know.
Exciting. I mean,
you guys are a gorgeous couple. You deserve to be on TV just for everyone just to watch with jealousy. Yes. But I love that. That docuseries is amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's kind of all our questions.
I guess because I know you're on the West Coast still, so we have to let you have your morning coffee and everything like that.
Yeah, I woke up this morning. I did my meditation. I already sent my kids off to school. We're early. We're up at 6 a.m.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, we really go for it at this household.
So it's amazing. Lunchtime for you already.
Yeah, I'm already thinking about where should I go into L.A. and have a salad?
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah, so it's wild. But thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you. This is like a pinch moment. Thank you so much. We love you. We love how much you like have a... kind of like help the world and then like have shouted us out, and it's just been so great talking with you.
Yeah, and if you come to New York, we'd love to have you in the office.
Okay, well, I might be in February for an event for the book. So okay. I will let you know. Yes. It's too cold in December or January.
Yeah.
So
end
of February.
Yeah, I might, that's a good idea.
Brave the cold and make my way out there. So I'll definitely let you guys know.
Awesome.
And thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the interview and for listening to Not Another True Crime Podcast. As always, please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Please follow us on Instagram, NATC Pod. Follow Danny on Instagram at Cashmere Danny.
Cashmere with a K. And follow Sarah.
Sarah F. Carter. Today's sign off just comes from my brain. Thanks for listening to Not Another True Crime Podcast. Have a nice life. Goodbye.
Betches.